May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Robert Coles, the psychiatrist, the writer of a lot of books, a teacher at Harvard. He wrote a book about Dorothy Day, the famous Catholic social worker, the founder of the Catholic worker movement. He was a Harvard graduate. He was at Harvard Medical School. As a person with all these credentials, he was proud to volunteer to help the poor. What a good guy he was. Coles talks about arriving at the Catholic worker and asking to see Dorothy Day, straight to the top to see the person in charge, to offer his services. She's in the kitchen, he's told. So he went there, and he found Dorothy Day sitting and listening to a homeless woman. She was listening, not talking, listening. The woman was obviously drunk. As he listened, she made no sense whatsoever. But Dorothy sat there with her, patiently listening to her story. So intently was she listening that she didn't see Coles standing there. At last, she glanced his way and saw him standing by the doorway. She said, "Are you waiting to speak with one of us?" Coles said, "He'll never forget those three words. One of us." They changed his life. Dorothy Day was famous. The woman with her, a nobody, you could say, a derelict. "Are you waiting to speak with one of us?" Never before had Coles seen anything like it, but those words told Coles what Dorothy Day was all about. Respect and love and dignity for anyone and all who came to her house. A deep and true humility that identifies so completely with another person that all the distinctions between her and the other are removed. All boundaries, all categories that society sets up to separate us from one another stripped away. Are you waiting to speak with one of us? All who exalt themselves, Jesus says, will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He also says, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And you will be blessed because you cannot be repaid. At the center of the gospel of Jesus is this message. It's a message that says that in God there are no distinctions, no classes, no divisions of race or sex or ethnicity. In God, all are one. Some of us, a few anyway, like Dorothy Day, for example, are able to see that unity without even trying. Her ability to see God's image in others appears almost effortless from the outside, at least. One of us, she says, without even thinking about it. And the rest of us marvel at her grace. How'd she do it? How, for that matter, does anyone do it? How to love so much, accept so much that anyone at all is welcome. It's no wonder that Dorothy Day is on her way to sainthood in the Catholic Church. For now, she only has the title the servant of God. And you know what? I think she'd prefer that to saint. After all, Dorothy really did say, don't call me a saint. I don't want to be dismissed so easily. Because it is so easy to think that people like she are saints, and in doing so, we let ourselves off the hook. We lack her grace, we think. We're not saints, so it's no wonder that we can't manage to be that humble, that loving, that accepting. But if we see such actions in the context of an entire life, some things get a little bit clearer. As a young woman, Day rejected organized religion because she didn't see the church trying to help the poor. Where are the saints trying to change the social order, she asked. Not just to minister to slaves, but to do away with slavery, she asked. So she threw herself out of the church and into causes that she thought the church should be embracing. Before the age of 30, she was jailed for demonstrating at the White House in favor of women's voting rights. She took the side of workers long before it was safe to do so. But not all of her life was so noble. She also went through an abortion in a failed relationship 5 years later. After that experience, she gave birth to a child out of wedlock. She supported herself and her child as a single parent and as a freelance journalist. Remember, this is a time when such an existence was completely unacceptable to any social or religious group. Completely. Throughout her long life, Dorothy Day spent large blocks of time in jail for acts of civil disobedience. Her last jailing was in 1969 when she was 76 years old, protesting with the United Farm Workers in California. So when we see her actions, when we see her sitting with a woman and listening to her as if she was her sister, maybe it becomes a little bit easier anyway to understand how easily she could identify herself with such people. She saw in the lives of the poor her own life. She saw in the lives of the poor her own suffering, her own sorrow. Only in that way was she enabled to see the faces of people and simultaneously the faces of God. Her pain, her suffering, her hardship enabled her to have compassion and respect for others, because she knew all too well how much she was in need of God's grace and love. It became almost easy for her to offer that same love, that same grace to those with whom she encountered, whom she worked with, because she knew herself as frail, broken, fallen, a forgiven sinner. She was free to accept the frailties and shortcomings of others because she could see her own in herself. It's that same awareness that can enable us to love and respect those that we encounter. When we can look into the mirror and see ourselves as we truly are, not with the masks that we wear for one another in church or at work, but see each other as we truly are, as broken, failing, helpless creatures who sometimes strive to do what is right, but more often do what is wrong. When we can look at ourselves in the mirror and see ourselves as God sees us and still love in spite of it all, as God loves in spite of it all, then we're set free. Free to love as we ourselves are loved. free to accept as we ourselves are accepted. We are free to give as we have received. It's the wonderful grace-filled knowledge of redemption that enables us to at last know and understand that where we sit at the table really doesn't matter. With whom we sit at the table really doesn't matter. Even how we sit doesn't matter. All that matters is that we sit at the table, that we are all seated at the table, and that we are all grace-filled, lost and found, beloved children of God, beloved servants of God. Amen.